Find the button. There we go. Good morning. It's great to be before you once again this morning. I'd like to start off by saying that today is Veterans Day, and I'd like to start off by saying a happy Veterans Day to those who have served in our military. I'm sure there are a lot in here who have either served in military or have been overseas, and if it weren't for you, we would not be able to worship in this capacity today. So I'd like to start off by saying thank you to all of our veterans who have made the sacrifice either in the past or in the military today, as well as those who protect us on this side of the border. If it weren't for you, we would not be able to worship here today, and I'd like to say thank you. The next thing I'd like to say is that Rocky Top will always be home sweet home to me. Now, I know you may be saying, well, our record's better, but we have both beaten two top 25 teams this year. And it doesn't matter what your record is, because yesterday was a good day. Mickey, that's for you, buddy. Sorry. I don't have any friends anymore, do I? Mickey, you're my only one. Last weekend, I had the privilege of attending a conference called M2Y, Ministering to Youth. And I had the privilege of getting to listen to youth ministers or people who were youth ministers in the past, elders who work with the youth minister, and I got to learn a lot of things. One of the classes that I got to sit in on, we spent some time talking about trends among teens. One of those, our teens have never known a time without cell phones. They never knew dial-up internet. They will never know what that sound is that comes through our computers with dial-up internet. They're wired. Kids in the Generation Z spend 6 to 9 hours per day. They probably even spend more than that a day on their cell phones or the internet as a whole. They're more accepting of sexual fluidity, which means that 73% of them are accepting of gay marriage. They are very independent. Why is that? Because if they need to know something or know how to do something, all they have to do is go on the internet, type it in, watch a video about it, and they know how to do it. They're justice-minded. They want justice for everyone, which leads them to be very politically minded. They are post-Christian, which means that 23% of Americans, one-third of millennials, don't identify with the religion today. But one good thing about that is that they are also spiritually illiterate. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I mean that they are a clean slate. They don't have the baggage of coming from a different religion and trying to learn the truth from us. They can learn the truth from us, and we get to teach them the truth because they don't bring that baggage from another religion. They also long for a purpose and meaning. Sometimes we may look at teens and we look at how they're on their phones, but we forget that everyone looks for purpose and meaning somewhere. They want to feel important. They want to have value to someone. What are we doing to make sure that they feel that way? Our kids need to be treated with value and importance, and sometimes we spend a lot of time correcting them. Another thing we talked about is how do we reach a YouTube generation? A generation that spends so much time on YouTube. How do we do that? We spend less time trying to make them conform to our standards. We correct them when needed, but we do so in love. And don't take value away from them, or don't make them feel any less important than they are. We focus on our example. Our actions speak way louder than our words do. This is a generation that doesn't do as you say, they do as you do. And if you do something that is different from what you say, they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to do what you say because what you do is not what you say. Your example does not match the words coming out of your mouth. But what kids want today is to have a feeling of purpose or feel that they belong to our family. What are we doing to make sure that they feel like they belong to our family that belongs to Christ? What if we change methodology while still holding on to the truth and message of the gospel and Scripture? I know this is one for that's a little hard for us to grasp. We like our traditions as a Church of Christ. We like our sermons to be a certain length, but teens prefer shorter sermons. They have shorter attention spans. If they sit anywhere for more than a couple minutes, they're reaching for their phone. They need hands-on activities, and they crave real talk about real life issues. So these trends and how we should respond to those trends is what sparked my thought in the process in trying to come up with a topic for this lesson. So the topic for this lesson is don't walk by. Don't just be the one to walk by. If we are a Christian, we have to take into consideration. Consideration is point number one this morning if you're taking notes. Take into consideration James chapter 1. If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn over to James chapter 1. If we are a Christian, and if we are children of God, if we are disciples who follow Jesus, we have to take into consideration James chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of man. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. If you're a Christian today, if you're thinking about becoming a child of God, you have to take into consideration that we cannot be just hearers of the word, but we have to be doers as well. If we take that into consideration, we are less likely to walk by, to just walk by someone who needs help. Are we just hearers of the word? Do we take the word and apply it to our lives? Do we walk the walk, or do we just talk the talk? Do we say things and the things we do don't match up with what we say? A lot of people who are outsiders or unbelievers in the truth, that's what turns them away from the church, is that what I say does not match what I do. What we talk about in here is not matched with what I do outside of these walls. If we were to flip over to chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 say this, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? If you're a Christian, you have to also take into consideration James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If I am a Christian, I'm not allowed to look at someone and say, be warmed and filled, without giving them the means to do so. I know we can't do everything for everyone, but we can all do something, whether that's put gas in someone's car or buy someone a meal or donate clothes to the needy. There's all something that we can do. The next point this morning, point number two, is confrontation. If I'm going to be a Christian, sometimes it takes me to confront someone about something. If we were to flip over to Acts chapter 17, start reading with me in verse 16 of Acts chapter 17. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities. because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Skip down to verse 29. "Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Don't just walk by when you have a chance to make a difference. When Paul saw these people worshiping idols, he could have just walked by. He could have pretended that he didn't see it. He could have said, "Oh, well, someone else will come by." But what did he do? He confronted those people about worshiping idols. He spent time preaching to them and teaching to them that Jesus is the Son of God, teaching them about the resurrection of Christ. As we as Christians, if we want to be Christians, children of God, we have to sometimes be willing to confront those who need confrontation. Sometimes that means we go to them and we preach to them the truth and we beg them to stop doing the things that they're doing. These people here were worshiping idols. They didn't know any better, but Paul pleaded with them and taught them. He could have just walked by and let them keep worshiping idols. What if he had done that exact same thing? What if he had not confronted them? We as Christians should confront with love. Confrontation doesn't mean we go to someone and we talk to them hatefully. We confront them with love, as Paul did here in Acts chapter 17. We speak the truth in love. We don't attack them. If you see someone who isn't doing the will of the Father or someone who is disobeying the Word of God altogether, meet them with love where they are. After all, we are told to speak the truth in love according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. If we are Christians, we can't just walk by. If we are Christians, we have to take into consideration James chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Sometimes that means that we have to confront someone. And then third point is, sometimes we need to have compassion. Flip over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, start reading with me in verse 11. "Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the casket, if you would, and the bearer stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country." In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, Christ could have just went to the funeral. He could have just given his condolences to the mother. He could have just said, "I'm sorry for your loss." But what did Jesus do? He could not just walk by the casket. He could not just walk by the boy who was laying dead in that casket. I'm not saying we have the power to raise the dead, but Jesus had compassion. He could not just walk by that casket. He could have, even after he was raised from the dead, he could have just left it at that. But what did Jesus do? He picked up the boy and gave him to his mother. Christ could have just walked by, but he had compassion. And we should take example from this, as we ought to have compassion for those who are in pain. I could just say, "I'm sorry for your loss," and just walk by. But what if instead of saying, "I'm sorry for your loss," what if you were there for that person? We saw the pain that the mother was in and had compassion. We should also see that mother or that person who has lost a loved one and have compassion on them. We can't heal the sick. We can't restore life like Jesus. But we can sit with people at the hospital, the funeral home. We can give blood at blood drives. We can mentor a child whose father is deployed. We can babysit for a single parent. We can include the widow in our family meals. There are things that we can do to show compassion for someone who is in pain or who is suffering in some way. What if we didn't just walk by? What if we had compassion? Because that leads me to our fourth point and final point. There is a correlation between those who are suffering, those who are in need, those who are in pain. There is a correlation, final point, between those people and Jesus. Flip over to Matthew chapter 25. Start reading with me in verse 35. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Verse 41, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You see, there is a correlation between those who are suffering, those who are in need, those who are in pain because of loss, because of their circumstances. There's a correlation between those people and Christ. Because whatever we did not do to the least of those people, we did not do it to Christ. We did not serve Christ if we do not serve those people who are in need. So we see we can't just walk by if we take into consideration James chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, and James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. I can't just walk by if I confront someone, or if I'm a Christian, I am to confront someone if they're doing something they're not supposed to as a Christian. If I don't walk by, I also have compassion. I have compassion on those who are suffering, who are in pain. And I also see the connection between them and Christ. So if you hear this morning, a reoccurring thing in my lessons is the need to walk the walk. Too many Christians today simply call themselves a Christian because they attend church. Our youth of today despise hypocrisy. They demand that we be authentic with them. They're watching us. Do we talk about being considerate and yet never give anything to those that need? Do we teach them to stand up for their beliefs, but never show them how to confront those doing wrong? Do they hear us complaining, but never see us making a difference? Do we teach compassion, but never see us serving in soup kitchens? What we believe and who we serve must cause us to take action and not be hearers of the word only. Our young people are watching. Do as I say, not as I do, will not work for this generation. Let's be better examples for them to follow. If you're here this morning and you have at some point walked by, whether if you have walked by Christ, you have walked by this service without taking Christ as your Savior, repenting, confessing, hearing the Word of God, being baptized for the remission of your sins, having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, if you have walked by without doing so, then come this morning so that we can baptize you. Or if at some point you have walked by those in need, or if you've walked by Christ and you haven't been living faithfully, let us pray for you this morning so that we can get you back on track. Because we don't want to just walk by someone who is in pain or who is suffering. Because when we do that, we also walk by Christ. If you're here this morning and you need to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, or if you need to be prayed over, or if you're suffering in some way, we need to pray about that. Come this morning. John will be with me as we stand and as we sing.